Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I just believe we're going to be blessed today. Today I'm going to speak about being born of blood, being born of the will of the flesh, being born of the will of man, or being born of God. And what it means, because the Bible says if you are born of blood, you're not called a child of God. If you're born of the will of the flesh, you're not a child of God. If you're born of the will of man, you're not a child of God. But if you're born of God, then you're a child of God. What does that mean? And how's that implied into our lives today as believers? And we must remember that there are many people today that are born of the will of the flesh. There are people that are born of blood that think because they're born out of the right blood, they are called children of God. This British Israel move that's all over the world, and even in South Africa, it's really strong in certain areas. I mean, the guys say because we are Israelites, we are saved. We are called children of God. But the Bible says, not he that's born of blood is called a child of God. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be born of God Himself and not of blood. Hallelujah. Your bloodline will never save you. That is news for every person that thinks he's a superior group to any other nation. If you think that your skin color or your the race that you're in gives you an advantage in the eyes of God, I want to tell you, you are mega deceived. It's not like that. It is, man, God made it easy for the whole world. He died for the sins of the world, not for the sins of a certain race, for the sins of the world, and whosoever believe on Him. Man, I don't care if you can confess the name of Jesus and believe on Him, you can be saved. You can receive the salvation that's freely been given unto you. Hallelujah. Let's read from verse 12. It says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." It says, "But as many as received Him." That word "received" means to lay a hold of with the purpose to make use of. You know, so many times you can lay a hold of Jesus, but you don't want to make use of Him. I want to give an example of how you lay a hold of and make a use of Him. I laid a hold of Jesus by believing on His name, by believing that He died for me, He lived on my behalf, He obeyed on my behalf, and He was resurrected on my behalf, and He became human flesh on my behalf, and human flesh was glorified on my behalf so that I can receive a glorified body. Hallelujah. I'm being born of God, spirit, soul, and body. The soul's being saved, excuse me, by renewing of my mind, and by the mind of Christ, the way He thinks. Hallelujah. I receive the new soul. And by receiving the new spirit is by Him coming into human flesh, being born of the Spirit, and receiving a new body is Jesus Christ being resurrected. Hallelujah. A new spirit is received by Jesus being resurrected as the risen Christ. Hallelujah. And that is how I receive that. And how I make use of it is, I say today in front of all of you, I am righteous. I am super holy. Hallelujah. As He is, so am I in this world. Thank you. I am the healed. I am financially prosperous. Because the Bible says he that was rich was made poor so that I through his poverty might be made rich. I am as rich as Christ is where He's seated at the right hand of the Father as a human being. That is who I am. And when I sin and when I do something wrong, you know what? I make use of Jesus. I am holy. I am righteous. I am as He is still. Hallelujah. You know, it's so easy to say God loves us unconditionally. You know, it's easy. People say, yeah, God loves us unconditionally. But when we sin, when we do something wrong, many people say, I believe God loves me. But the moment you say, in spite of your sins, it becomes a faith thing. It becomes something that you need to be persuaded of the character of that person. You know, it's you don't need faith to say God loves me. But you need faith in who He is to say He loves me even if I do something wrong. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it is, when I preach this gospel, it's actually difficult for me when I speak about the law and when I speak about right and wrong, because I want to just say this to you and invite you. There's a place where you can live without even thinking once, is something right or wrong? There's a place where you can live and not try and do. There's a difference between doing and living. So many people that say they are Christians today are busy with doings of God, and they're not busy with living. Doing has got a thing in your mind. What must I do? Is what I do right or is what I do wrong? You know, in my life, I don't think like that. Because there's a different way of living. There's a different way of thinking about things. You know, God doesn't think of right and wrong. God is a busy being. He's not busy doing. And that's what I feel. That's what God has given us. And man, I've known this good news since 1995. And not that I say I'm something. It's not what I want to say in the sense of by my deeds. I just say, man, I've been meditating upon this word for 10 or 11 years now. And what I see in my life is I see that I've been moving away from what I must do to please God. It's not just knowledge anymore. In my heart, I'm not into a doing thing anymore. I don't even want to know if something's right or wrong. What I'm into is I'm living the God in me. The God in me is living through me and is starting to find who He is in my body. You know how wonderful it is to find that you don't desire to forgive people, but forgiveness flows out of you. Oh, hallelujah. When you don't decide not to become angry, when you just see peace flowing out of you. Oh man, that's a place where everybody wants to be. And all I want is, I just want more of that to manifest in my life. And the way that manifests in your life is to believe that as He is, so am I. That is grabbing hold and making mega use of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to get to heaven one day, or when Jesus comes back to this earth, I see that, you know, there was. I've only made use this much of Jesus, and there was so much more. Now I want to make full use of what He's done. When I do something wrong, I don't want to think of, am I allowed to have peace or not? Even if I have done right or if I've done wrong, I don't want to feel good because I've done something right or feel bad because I've done something wrong. I just want the peace of Jesus to just move through me. Just to abide in me. To live through me. And the only way you're going to have that is if you can believe that He became a human on your behalf. And that He enlightens everybody. I just want to read verse 9. And this is going to bless you. Let's read from verse 8. You understand better. It says, He was not that light. It speaks about John the Baptist. He says, He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which is Jesus, which lighteneth or enlightens every man that comes into the world. Let's read it again. That was the true light, which lightens every man that comes into the world. Now look at me. He doesn't say that lightens every man that comes unto Him. No. It says every man that's born into this world has been enlightened by Jesus. So when a baby is born today, when he receives human flesh, what happened because Jesus, when God, the Word, became flesh, dwelt among us, obeyed the law, died in the form of human flesh, was resurrected as human flesh on behalf of that person that received human flesh today. He brought light. He enlightened him. But the moment you believe that, that manifests in your life. And without believing that, it will never manifest in your life. And you will not have life. You will go to hell when you die. Because light was given unto you. You were enlightened, but you refused to believe it. Faith is not to believe that I will be enlightened. Faith is believing that I have been enlightened by Jesus. Faith is for a sinner to say, I come to a place in my life where I realize by my deeds I could not be justified. I am at the end of myself. I am not holy enough. I am not righteous enough by my own works. But I believe that I have been made righteous already by Jesus. I believe that I have received new life because of Jesus. I believe I am holy. I believe my sins are forgiven. And I am being set free in Jesus' name. The moment a sinner believes that, he is saved. Hallelujah. That's the good news. That's why we preach to the lost. People might say, badly, but what do you preach to the lost? Do you preach the lost to the lost how sinful they are? No, I don't preach how sinful they are. They know they're sinful. I don't tell them that what they do is sin. No, I tell them what Jesus Christ has done is righteous. And that is done on their behalf. And if they believe that, they are set free from everything that irritates them, everything that hurts them, everything that brings pain into their lives. That's what I preach. I tell a sinner, your sins has been forgiven. Hallelujah. You see such joy and amazement on a sinner's face when you tell him, I've got news for you. The thing you're busy with is forgiven. If you can believe that, you'll experience the sweet taste of the emotion of forgiveness in your body today. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. That's why we've got these 10 crusades, open air gospel crusades, preach on television. Man, if I'm in the street and I see somebody and they ask me, that's the nicest thing. When I fly on an aeroplane and somebody asks me, sir, what do you do for a living? Oh, thank you, Jesus, if they ask that. Then I tell them about Jesus. I tell people that their sins are forgiven. That's what I'm busy with because of Jesus. I tell the world they've been made the righteousness of God. If they can just believe it, it will manifest. If they don't believe it, it will never manifest. How will people believe if we don't preach? What must they believe? They must believe the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that they have been recreated in Jesus. That Jesus was the last Adam and that He died on behalf of man. And if man can believe that, he is saved. Hallelujah. That's good news. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read verse 12 again. It says, but as many as received or grabbed a hold of to make use of Jesus, to them gave He the power. Now that word power is the word privilege. To become, that word become means to arise into or to stand up as sons. That word sons is the word offspring of God. That is those that believe on His name. Now let me read that scripture just in a simple way that we can understand. It says, but as many as grab a hold of to make a use of Jesus, to them He gave the privilege to stand up as the offspring of God. These are those that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now what he says here, the person that makes use of what Jesus has done is born of God. Now the word born, I just want to read to you the Greek meaning of the word born. It says here, to engender, to cause to arise, to excite, to bring forth, to stand up. In a Jewish sense, of one who brings others over to his way of life. To convert someone. Now what he says is, if you bring somebody over to your way of life, he is born into a new life. Now, you can find people that their lives has changed. They were alcoholics, or they were drinking. They might be people that's been sleeping around. They've been in adultery. And then one day they realize that that way of living is wrong. And that they're actually supposed to go to church and live a good life. Because that's the right thing to do. They are supposed to serve the Lord and be obedient to the scriptures. And then they just start to do that. And then their lives change. They go on a mana camp, or they go to another. I'm against that. Thank God for the mana camp. I mean, thousands of people are being saved there. I mean, they go to a mana camp and they realize they must. A mana camp is a men's camp where people just go to and they just receive the gospel and people get saved. They go to a men's camp. After that, they come back. They slot into a cell group in the local church, and then they start to get involved in the building plan of the church, and they get involved in outreaches, and they just start to do the right thing. And once they get involved in all those things, their life changes. It's like somebody that gets wrong friends. They were good, and then they got wrong friends or bad friends, and then they start to live a new life. They were born again. That's what that word born again means. What it means to be born of. If you get a wrong friend and he influences you negatively and you start to live the way he lives, you've been born again into a wrong way. And the same way many people today are born into living right. And it looks good and it looks right, but that person has got a struggle in himself because he's been born into living right, and it's an effort to live right by your own strength. You'll never get it right. You will always be busy with, is this right or is it wrong? Am I allowed to watch a movie or not? Am I supposed to wear these clothes or not? Is it lawful for me to smoke or not? Is it lawful for a Christian to drink some wine or not? And you'll be busy with all these arguments. Well, you know, get these people that are sipping saints. What a sin. You know, and all those type of things. And you'll get into arguments and religious way of thinking that's just going to kill your mind and rob you of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that's not the way we are supposed to be born of God. We're not supposed to come into a new life because we're standing under new rules. There's a new rule. I must go to church and that gives me life. Now, that is not what God wants for us. That's not the way He wants us to live. That's not being born of God. It says, he who believes on Jesus is he that makes a use of Jesus. And when you make a use of Jesus, you are so privileged that a new man will stand up in you because of your faith in Christ. Now what that means is, when you believe what He's given to you freely, by understanding the magnitude of what He's done, it will influence your life into newness. And the newness that comes because of the revelation of what Jesus has done for you freely in His flesh, death and resurrection will cause a change of life in you. He will cause a change of life in you when you believe that. And that's called being born of God. Now let's read verse 13. It says, being born of God is not those who are born, which were born not of blood. You know, there are people today that think, and I think I've said it previously, that think that because they are of the right nation, they are Israelites, that they are now born of God because they are in the right bloodline. And we get people in these British Israel movements and all those type of things. They think they are born in the right bloodline. And because they're in the right bloodline, they call children of God. Now it says here, not them that are born of blood. If you are in the right bloodline, you know what it means for salvation? Nothing. That's what it means. Nothing. You just born. All it means is you just born of that nation. That's all it means. And it means that you can, of that nation, you can be an Israelite in hell, or you can be a Jewish in hell, or you can be a Zulu going to hell, or a South African, Afrikaner going to hell as well. It doesn't mean anything concerning salvation. It just means you're of a certain nation. That's all it means. It says, not him that is born of blood is called a child of God. If you are born in the right blood group, it doesn't say that you're a child of God. It just says you're of that blood group. That's all it says. And then it says, nor of the will of the flesh. Now this is the one that I want to touch on. You can be born of the will of the flesh. Now what is the will of the flesh? Being born of the will of the flesh is, in the Jewish times, and this is the years ago when Jesus was still on the earth, what they believed was you must be circumcised, and then by your will you decide, I'm going to become a Jew, which was a belief then, or a Pharisee, and I'm going to become part of that religion, I'm going to be circumcised, and then I'm going to serve the commandments. And that's what I was just talking about. So many people decide, well, the way I live is not right. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be circumcised there. That means I'm going to stop my fleshly way of doing, and I'm going to serve their commandments. A person like that, I believe, and I know I can be stepping on some toes right now, is born of the flesh. It's a human effort. I tell you, I don't believe in this thing of, it's a decision of your will. You must just make the right decision. Life is all about decisions. Let me tell you one thing. I don't believe life is all about decisions. Decisions does have a role to play. There's a decision where you're going to hear the gospel and you're going to receive Jesus Christ, and where you're going to decide, I believe on Jesus. And that, I believe that's the biggest decision you're ever going to make. And then from there, it's not about making decisions. Is this right or is it? From there, it is living. Living. Hallelujah. Not doing, living. There's a great, great difference between the two of that. And he says, not him that is born of the flesh. So many times we are born, the new life that comes into a person's life is generated and stands up out of making a decision to obey the commandments. It's like taking this Bible, saying, well, this Bible is holy, it is righteous, it is good, everything that it says is good. And I put this Bible over there, and here am I, Bertie Brits, I am a sinner, I know I've got sin in my life, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to study this Word to see what must I do as a Christian, to see what is the things that will please God if I just do all of these things. And I'm going to obey these commandments. Jesus said, if you even just look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery. I want to do what's right. I'm not even going to look at a woman lustfully. I, Bertie, I'm going to serve the Word. You know what that is called? That's called being born of the flesh. Remember what I said, what the flesh is. The flesh is not just your sins. The flesh, if we read Galatians chapter 3, and I want to touch on that again. Let's read that. I haven't planned to read that, so it's going to take a bit of a time to get it, but here am I. Galatians 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Now, the truth is what God says about you. Amen. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. This would I only learn of you. Have you received the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so fooling, having begun in the Spirit, which is by faith, are you now made perfect by the flesh or the works of the law? You see, so many times we will see a new way of living. Remember what I said, what it means to be born. I want to read it again. It says, in the Jewish sense of one who brings others over to his way of life. So many times churches just want to bring people over into the right way of life. And that's not being born of God. Being born of God is bringing people over into the life of God. And the life of God will bear fruit in him and live through him. And he will experience God's life in his life today. That will have a change of life as well. But we're not trying to bring people over into living right. We are bringing people over into experiencing the resurrection life of God in them. And the new person that's been born of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that powerful? That's what God has given unto us. Man, we're running out of time, and I would still like to pray for you. I think we'll have to continue with this. Now, every time I want to make a session while I preach, I realize I need to do two or three more on that. Let's just pray together for every person that's in need, because maybe you feel that the new person that stands up in, the new person that was generated in your life is generated out of obeying rules and is not generated out of a revelation of the finished work of Jesus and believing on what He has done for you. Man, if you want to understand more of this, you must make use of our ministry products, because we've got this at the end of the broadcast. You'll see on the screen what you can order, and it's just for a donation. You just donate and we'll send. As easy as that. Whatever you can afford. If you can afford 1,000 rand for something, donate that. If you can afford 1 rand, donate it. We'll send it to you. Because we want you to have this word. You must get the series on, You Cannot Bear Fruit. And you'll start to understand this more. And you'll understand what it is to be born of the Spirit and not of the flesh. Man, let's close our eyes and let's pray together. Father, I thank You that I can just pray for every person that's heard this message. I thank You that he will not be confused, but that he will be just stirred to study the Scriptures more and to know more of Your unconditional love. Thank You, Father, that I can be born of You. The new man that's in me is because of the result of believing on Jesus and the result of what He's done. Thank You, Father. I pray for every person right now, for peace in his mind, that he might be born of God. And he might realize when he believes on Jesus, he's born of God. Amen. Thank you for joining me, and God bless you.